Just a quick heads up that I am currently on maternity leave, which means that the Fertility Co podcast is taking a break. But please don't panic because I am already working on some exciting things behind the scenes. And when I come back, I'm really looking forward to sharing with you a brand new, completely free mini course all about ovulation and finding your fertile window. In the meantime, there are still heaps of ways that you can continue to learn about your fertility and your menstrual cycle while I take a break. If you're just getting started with charting your cycle, you can check out my free fertility roadmap. If you want to dive deeper and learn exactly when you're ovulating, then you can watch my Fix Your Fertility Masterclass. There is, of course, also my Conceive with Confidence workshop series and, of course, my flagship online program, Fertility School. If you want individualized support from a trained fertility educator, that's me, then you can book in to my waitlist for a one-on-one consult, and I would love to work with you to achieve your fertility goals in 2024. Spots are strictly limited though, and links to all of those resources are in the show notes. In this episode, we're talking women's health, hormones, and fertility with a twist of yin and yang because I am chatting with traditional Chinese medicine doctor and acupuncturist Joanna McMeekin. I'm Rachel, and I am obsessed with all things periods, pregnancy, pelvic floor, and helping women just like you to navigate all of life's major milestones. I'm a physiotherapist, a natural fertility educator, and my passion is teaching women how to take control of their health. Fertility, pregnancy, nutrition, and menstrual cycle health, we'll dive deep into all of it right here. All those questions you've been secretly Googling, all those things you're too embarrassed to ask your doctor because, well, we're women. Shouldn't we just know this stuff? So get comfy and get ready to finally have all of your questions answered. Hit subscribe now and let me teach you what they never taught us in health class. You're listening to the Mana Women's Wellness Podcast. Want to say goodbye to hormonal contraceptives and their weird and unpleasant side effects? Want to improve your chances of conceiving quickly and naturally? Sounds like you need my fertility roadmap, my simple three-step system to understanding your body's natural fertile signs and pinpointing ovulation day so that you can use this knowledge to achieve or avoid pregnancy. To grab your free copy, head over to manawomenswellness.com/roadmap. Hello and welcome to episode 37 of the Mana Women's Wellness Podcast. I am your host, Rachel, and today we are talking to traditional Chinese medicine doctor and acupuncturist Joanna McMeekin about how you can use the incredible knowledge of Chinese medicine to manage your menstrual cycle health and your fertility. We're talking about how Chinese medicine ties in beautifully with the cyclical nature of the female menstrual cycle, how Chinese medicine and acupuncture in particular can help your body to heal itself, and what to expect during a consultation. Now, Joanna is making her second appearance on the podcast, and she was back on with me in episode 17, where we talked all about vaginal microbiome and UTIs. I've been working with Joanna for a little while now in her clinic, and I'm so excited to share her incredible knowledge with you. Let's dive in. Okay, so we have Joanna back for round two on the podcast, and today we are talking about a real introduction to traditional Chinese medicine, acupuncture, and how it all relates to our fertility and our menstrual cycles and how this glorious type of medicine can help every woman. So thank you for joining us, Joanna. Thank you for coming back.
Thank you for having me back.
So for those of you who have not listened to the last episode that Joanna was on, which was episode 17, tell us a little bit about yourself and what led you into traditional Chinese medicine to begin with.
It's my origin story, this
yes.
podcast. Like the Wolverine episode. So I, like a lot of people who wind up in complementary medicine, I think, I actually didn't start in this field. I started in the corporate world. So I came out of school and I actually studied a Bachelor of Business and I got my major in marketing. And I went to work in the corporate world and didn't love it. And not only did I not love it, I wasn't very good at it, but I was pretty good at convincing people that I could be good at it. So for about 4 years there, I think it was, I just got headhunted around. So I was able to hide the fact that I wasn't actually very good at what I was doing because I'd be at a company for about a year. And then another company would kind of like make an offer and I would move on before everybody discovered out. Yeah, that I was just faking it the whole time. And unfortunately, although I was good at faking it, I was just miserable. And I wound up working in a business development role, which anyone who knows sales knows is a pretty tough role. You know, it's a lot of outbound direct selling. And I took a holiday. I went to Fiji with my sister and her family. And I don't know if you've ever been to Fiji, but it's one of the most incredible places on earth. It's my happy place. And I had this kind of epiphany while I was over there. I was like, I need to change my life. like a midlife crisis at 26 or something. And I was like, I need to change my life. I can't do this. And I was walking along this beautiful path and I was wearing like a sarong, you know, and a bikini, and I had one of those hibiscus flowers tucked into my hair. And I was like, I've got to make a decision. And I thought, I like working with people, you know, and I like helping people to feel happier in their life. That's something that really, really makes me feel motivated to get up in the morning. And I also was really interested in the body. And my parents had been sort of unwell. They both had cancer when I was growing up. And I sort of learned a little bit about alternative medicine through that process. And I thought, well, I think I'm going to go be a naturopath. So I came back from this holiday and I was just sort of formulating this idea that I might go back and study something. And my boss called me into the office and I thought he was going to be, you know, hi, how are you going? And how was your holiday? But he actually fired me. It finally caught up to me. And it turned out to be like the best thing that could have happened, although it was a sobering experience. But I was paid out a really nice sort of severance package, so that enabled me to spend some time getting my ducks in a row. And looking back, I was talking to someone about this the other day, it was the universe seldom answers you the way you think it will. So
that's a pretty clear response from the universe though, isn't it?
Yeah. But you know, so I'm like, oh, universe, I want to, you know, change my life and blah, blah, blah. And the universe is like, right, let's get you fired. But it did allow me to set off on the path of going back to school. And I started, as I said, studying to become a naturopath. And then I had to do an assignment. It would have been in my third year. So I did a year full-time and then I went part-time for a bit. And I think it was my second year of part-time studies. I had to do an assignment on one of the other subjects that was offered at the college that I was studying at. And I chose TCM, not really knowing anything about it, but having a love of Asian culture. I was obsessed with Japan when I was younger, growing up, and I learned Japanese at school. And then actually when I was at university in my final year, I was given a scholarship to go and do half of the year at university in Japan. So I went to a Buddhist university just outside of Kyoto. Yeah, that was an incredible experience. And again, the universe just doing its thing. Because the reason that came about is I decided to take a subject outside of the School of Business, and I just took Japanese because, you know, I'd loved it when I did it at school. And that's how it all sort of came about. My Japanese lecturer at uni said, look, there's a scholarship going, and so on and so forth. So I did have a history of Asian culture and being really in love with Asian culture, but I didn't really know much about Chinese medicine. And I remember going to the library and I got this textbook. It was a blue textbook. And I sat there in the library reading this book, and it was like in a movie, like, you know, all these people were coming and going and the sun was rising up and going across the sky and setting, and then the moon came up, and I'm still there in this library just reading this book. And it was talking about, you know, yin and yang and going into the concepts of Taoism or Taoism, which we'll talk about in a bit, I think. And it just, everything sort of made sense to me finally. I was like, this is everything I've sort of thought I understood put in a way that I can clearly get my head around. And I was hooked from that moment. Yeah. So I changed my major and the rest is history.
Amazing. That is a pretty good origin story, I think.
It certainly wasn't linear.
So I guess for those listening who have no idea what Chinese medicine is and what it's all about, give us a very, I guess, in a nutshell, what is Chinese medicine? Because I know that's probably something you could talk about for hours. And I guess specifically how it relates to women's health and hormones and our fertility.
Yeah. And the beauty of Chinese medicine is that you can deliver it in a nutshell, and similarly, you could learn it for 100 years and still not know, still not know everything there is to know. So it can be incredibly simplistic and it can be incredibly complicated. But put really simply, Chinese medicine is understanding the body through the lens of the two opposing forces in the universe, yin and yang, and how those two work together and how they oppose each other and how they transform into one another, how they support each other. There's this constant dance going on, this constant flux. Nothing's ever static in Chinese medicine. And that's really what's happening in your body all the time, right? You've got all of these processes going on, metabolic processes, hormonal processes. When you start thinking about the things that your body does all the time, all day, every day, that you don't even consider, like breathing, for example. You don't think about your next breath, right? It just happens. And there's all of this stuff going on. There's muscular contractions that need to happen. There's relaxations that need to happen. There's, oxygen exchange, gaseous exchange within your lungs, within the alveoli of the lungs. It's these incredible, complicated processes that happen all the time without you knowing it, just like nature. And Chinese medicine is derived from Taoism or Taoism, like I said before, which is a philosophy / religion that seeks to understand the natural order of the universe and how things ebb and flow together and how man fits into nature. Because I think we've forgotten that we're very much a part of nature, and women in particular are cyclical creatures. Men are also cyclical, but women in particular, because of the hormonal cycle that they go through every month. And that's a really good sort of transition, I think, for how Chinese medicine relates to women's health, is that women every month are going between these yin and yang states. We've got the first half of the cycle, which is very yin, as you know, the estrogen's rising and the follicles are ripening. And then you've got this yang event, which is ovulation. And then after that, everything is about sustaining a pregnancy if it occurs. So that's a very yang activity, we would say, because there's a lot of doing, a lot of holding. And then if there's no pregnancy, it all drops away and you start the yin cycle again. So yin turns into yang, turns into yin, turns into yang. So, yeah, I think that's not very nutshell, but that's my answer.
I think you could go way deeper, so I'll say it's nutshell. So how can women take advantage of Chinese medicine and acupuncture as well to help them with their menstrual cycle health and their fertility if they are struggling with symptoms and irregular cycles and struggling to conceive, things like that?
So I think this is something that you talk about a lot, so your listeners will all be pretty familiar with the idea that we're not meant to have these horrible symptom-filled experiences every month, that excessively heavy bleeding and crippling pain and migraines and mood swings and food cravings, these are not things that are normal. They're incredibly common, but they're not normal. And we've all been sold this idea from a very early age, men and women, that women turn into psycho hose beasts and just give them chocolate and wine and just ignore them because they're a bitch, because they're on their rags, this really negative dialogue.
Yeah.
But it's actually, that's all symptoms of a system where yin and yang are not functioning harmoniously. Something is out. And Chinese medicine is really good at observing what's going on and trying to bring it back into balance. And as you also know, and have probably also talked about, balance is not something that you arrive at like a destination. You don't go, oh, look at that, I balanced my hormones and now I'm done. It's this constant month to month. Things are going to change, and we don't live in a bubble. We don't live in a perfect world. So some months we're going to be a lot busier and a lot more stressed. And I think Lara Brighton is quoted as saying in her book, The Period Repair Manual, which is an excellent resource for anybody. She says that your period is like a monthly report card from your body about what just happened in the days preceding it, you know, and if it's rough, you need to assess and make some changes because your body's saying, oh, I'm not coping so well here. So Chinese medicine will look at what's going on in terms of symptoms. And we also look at lifestyle as well. And then we'll come up with a prescription for the individual. So in Western diagnoses, you know, if a woman gets diagnosed with endometriosis or she gets diagnosed with PCOS, you know, these are everyone who has that condition falls into the same category, right? But in Chinese medicine, you could have someone come to the clinic and they'll tell me that they've been diagnosed with PCOS. And you start asking them some questions and then they'll fit a particular Chinese medicine diagnosis. And I could have five different women with PCOS who would have five different Chinese medicine diagnoses. So that means that you can tailor the treatment to the individual, to what's going on for that person. Why does that person have PCOS? And the body will tell you what's going on. And acupuncture is really, really special in this because it's really the body, the patient's body is doing the work. So I love acupuncture and I've spent, you know, a lot of time trying to be a good acupuncturist. And I have to do, one of my patients asked me the other day, she said, is it, you know, is it hard? Is it draining what you're doing all day? And I said to her that we do as acupuncturists have to protect our energy. You know, you have to make sure that you're walking the talk because there's an exchange of energy going on in that consultation. We call it qi in Chinese medicine. So you have to make sure that your qi as an acupuncturist is pretty robust. But at the end of the day, I'm not like a magical pin wizard, you know, who has some incredible talent. I just do the acupuncture and then I leave the patient in the room and their body does the work to bring them back into a state of balance, which is pretty extraordinary if you think about it.
It is. And having had acupuncture with you, Joanna, I can say it is a pretty magical experience to be just left in the room by yourself in the dark and let your body do its thing.
Yeah. And I think one of the reasons that people come back to me all the time is because, so with treatment, you start out and you'll do a number of treatments and usually they're in close succession. Is that English? Sounds English enough.
Yeah.
you might do, you know, one a week for a couple of weeks and then space it out to once a fortnight. And then you kind of get on this maintenance mode. And for some people that's once a month. For some people it's once every couple of months. Others will come just once a quarter, you know, four times a year. But a lot of people come and I think it's because they're allowing themselves, acupuncture provides that space for themselves to actually, that they would maybe not find in a day for themselves to just lie there. You have pins in you. You can't move. So you just have to lie there and relax. And that's when we get into that parasympathetic nervous system, which is our rest and digest and repair state. And so, yeah, acupuncture really, it kicks you into that state, but also just taking the time to sort of lie down for 45 minutes and be still and regulate your breathing, that's also really, really powerful.
Yes, definitely. And I think you should add to your Instagram bio, magical pin wizard. I think that's your new catchphrase. I love it.
At magical pin wizard.
Yes. So if someone was keen to come and see you for a consultation, what could they expect in their first consultation with you?
The first one, depending on the case, you know, some are pretty straightforward, but we still do sit down and do like a thorough health history. So we'll do it from sort of a medical viewpoint, which is, do you have any like bleeding disorders or clotting disorders or any medical illnesses that you know about, family history of medical illnesses, etc. So we cover off all the important things from a biomedical point of view. And then we go through, I think in Chinese medicine, it's called the 1,000 questions. And as you can attest, it feels like that. There's not actually a 1,000 questions, but it feels like it's pretty close to it. So we talk about, you know, I sort of like to work top down. So I'm like, do you have any headaches? Do you have any visual things? Do you get ringing in your ears? Do you get dry throat, shortness of breath, a cough, et cetera? And we go through and we ask all sorts of different questions that may not seem relevant at all, but which are relevant. And we'll chat through all of those things. And then we'll take the pulse on both wrists in, what is it, six and six, so just 12 different positions, you know, six on each wrist. And we look at the tongue as well, which is everybody's least favorite bit, because I'm like, can I look at your tongue? And people look at me like, no.
I've just eaten, no.
Exactly. Yeah. Or I remember one time when I was in student clinic, this is segueing, but it's a pretty funny story. This woman, one of my patients, she poked her tongue out and it was purple. And that's actually kind of like purple black almost. And that's quite rare and usually a sign of something quite significant. And I went and got my supervisor to have a look at it. And I don't know why she didn't think to ask, because she was a really wonderful practitioner, but maybe she was just busy that night or something. I don't know. But she's like, wow, that's incredible. And she went and got all the students to come and look at this tongue. And we were doing this poor woman sitting there. And anyway, all the students had a look and the supervisor talked a bit, and then they all left the room and it was just me and the patient. And then the patient was like, is now the time to tell you that I just had a glass of Merlot? So yeah, we're looking for different things with the tongue, the body of the tongue, the shape of the body, the color of the body. Does it have a coat? Yes or no? What color is that coat? Is it purple? Is there a reason for it? Did they just have a coffee or a wine or something? And then, yeah, is it different colors, etc.? So that gives us more information. And then you'll hop up on a table, which is nicely heated in my clinic because I'm in Melbourne, so I have an electric blanket on the bed. But yeah, so you hop up on a table and then we do some acupuncture, which the most common question I get asked about acupuncture is, does it hurt? And my answer is, it doesn't hurt, but you definitely feel sensations and they're a bit weird, but they're very, very fleeting. And so you yourself know that I'll pop all the needles in. And then I'll say, right, I'm just going to go around and get a little sensation on each of the needles. And where we're looking for is, it's sort of a zippy feeling. It might be a little bit of a pinch. It might be a little bit of a dull ache. But as soon as we get that sensation, you just say, yep, and then we stop. And so it's, you know, a very brief sort of sensation. But we need to do that. In Chinese, it's called de qi, which means to get the qi, so to grab the energy. So you put the needles in and then you say to the body, hey, Are you getting this? You know, like it's like knocking on the door. Are you getting this? And the chi will come up and grab onto the needle, much like a little fish swimming up to take the bait on a hook. And then you know that the body's connected to the acupuncture and is going to do what it needs to do. And then, yeah, we'll dim the lights and you can just lie there and listen to some soft music. I have a panic button, as I call it, which is a little, it's a little buzzer. It's just a doorbell from Bunnings, let's be honest. But I give that to everybody so that if they need anything, they can just press the button and I get a little sound that alerts me that someone requires my attention. And it can be anything from they're feeling a bit warm, they're feeling a bit chilly, they desperately need someone to scratch their nose for them because they've got pins in their hands, whatever it happens to be. So, and then, yeah, you just lie there and relax for, the classics say that it takes 28 minutes for one full cycle of qi to go through the body. But it also depends on the patient as to how long you'll stay there. So, you know, patients that are a little bit deficient. So again, with, you know, yin and yang, you can have states of excess and deficiency. And patients that are a little bit deficient, you probably don't want to leave them for too long because the treatment can then actually be a little bit draining. And, you know, patients that are excess, you can leave them a little bit longer because they need it. But then after they've cooked and the timer goes off, ding, we go in and take all the pins out. And most people feel like they've had a little snooze and they feel nice and relaxed. And then they hop up and go about their day.
Well, there you go. It's, yeah, I think you've described it perfectly. And it is, it's just this, such this relaxing experience that you said, like no one's going to take the time to lie down and relax for 45 minutes unless they're pricked with pins and forced to lie still. So
Some people may give themselves that gift.
But not enough.
Absolutely not enough. And the other thing with acupuncture is that because we know there's a lot that we don't know about it, a lot that we don't know about its mechanism of action. And I like reading the science about how it works, but I also don't need to understand it because I think our human minds can only understand so much. And maybe this is something that's just a little bit beyond that. But scientifically, we know that it has a direct effect on the nervous system and the hormonal system. So when you're sitting down to meditate for 45 minutes, you are working hard, right, to get yourself into a state of relaxation and calm. But when you get acupuncture, half the work's done for you.
Mm-hmm. Almost instantly, from the moment you shut the door, it's all right. I'm just gonna have a snooze now. It's incredible how quickly it happens.
Yeah.
Okay. So, where can we go, Joanna, to find out more about you or learn how to work with you if we're ready to take the plunge into Chinese medicine, which I highly recommend?
A lot of my patients now who are like my biggest fans of, or the biggest fans of acupuncture and Chinese medicine, were total needle phobes. They were like, oh, you know, I don't want to. And acupuncture is just one of the sort of five pillars of Chinese medicine. So it's not the only thing. I think it's pretty amazing, but there's also herbal medicine, which is incredible. And then, you know, diet and lifestyle, which the big secret is that diet and lifestyle, you cannot get away from it, right? It is so important. If people came to me and just did acupuncture and took herbs but didn't do any of the diet and lifestyle modifications, then you might not even see any change. You might see a very small change, but you're certainly not going to get the most benefit out of it. And conversely, if people just did the diet and lifestyle things that I recommend to them, I think they would get 80% of the way there, you know, even without herbs and acupuncture. So that's probably, I think, the strongest of the pillars, you know, is the decisions that we make every single day. You can't undo those with a 45-minute acupuncture treatment once a month.
The hardest ones to stick to, though, isn't it? Because it's the most, the others are a bit more passive. Someone else can do the hard work for you. But
yeah, totally, totally. But it's, you know, looking after yourself that way is the ultimate form of self-respect. Absolutely. And self-love. You know, making the choices to eat well, get enough sleep and move your body, they show that you respect yourself. So I think they're really important. But I also operate off the 80-20 rule, right? Because you have to enjoy your life, and 80%, the 80-20 rule, I'm pretty sure everybody knows what it is, but it's this, they call it the Pareto distribution. And it's this idea that 80% of the time you do the right things or the things that are most beneficial for you, and 20% of the time you can loosen the reins a bit. And I think that's a really good way to approach it.
Absolutely.
So in terms of where people can find out more about me, I have a website, which I should probably change to magicalpinwizard.com, but currently
get the domain before someone else does.
Currently it is JoannaMack.com. And I'm available on Instagram. I'll let you link to me in the show notes rather than spelling out my whole name, which is what I did last time you and I talked.
I will make sure I include all of the links.
That would be amazing. But yeah, so you can either send me a direct message on Instagram or follow me to learn more about what I do. And with my website, you can jump on the contact form there. If you've got any questions, if people just want to have a quick chat, they can send me a message via the contact form and we can arrange a time to talk. Or if they're ready to go, then I have online booking available as well, so you can make an appointment. And I do in-person consults, but I work with people online. Obviously I can't do acupuncture, but I can do all the other stuff, which we just got through talking about how important that actually is. So,
Awesome. Thank you so much for your time, Joanna. As always, I'm sure you'll be back again because we have so many ideas brewing of what we can talk about in upcoming episodes. But thank you so much for your time today.
Well, thank you for having me. And I think I've proven today that talking is something I'm pretty good at. So so I look forward to it. I look forward to it. And thanks so much for all the work that you put into educating people, because I think this information is not stuff that we're exposed to when we're younger, which is kind of crazy when you think about it. There's actually an account I follow on Instagram, Samara Therese, I think is her name, and she's hilarious. And she did this this reel the other day where she was like, oh, we're going to learn about sex education today. And she was asking, she's pretending she was different people asking questions. She was like, are we going to learn about our bodies in a useful way? No. Are we going to learn about relationships and intimacy? No. So I think our sex education and health education is a little bit lacking. So thank you very much for your contribution in this space.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. Yes,
it's something I'm definitely passionate about because it's something I, like many women, have experienced for themselves. So definitely something that more women need to be aware of.
I agree.
All right, well, thank you so much for your time and I will speak to you soon.
Bye.
If you've made it this far, you deserve a huge virtual hug because you just finished another episode of the Mana Women's Wellness podcast. New episodes are released every Wednesday, so make sure you hit subscribe now so you don't miss when the latest goes live. Why not make my day and leave me a quick rating and review while you're over there? If you want more, head on over to Instagram at Mana Women's Wellness, slide into my DMs and say hello, or you can visit manawomenswellness.com/podcast for show notes and access to all of the freebies that I talked about in this episode. Until next time. Let's talk about Temp Drop. Temp Drop's wearable sensor and accompanying charting app brings the full fertility tracking solution right to your phone. Wear the Temp Drop sensor on your upper arm during sleep and then just sync to the charting app whenever it's convenient for you. Temp Drop believes that every woman should be empowered and equipped with the knowledge to take control of their body. Sound familiar? That's where Temp Drop steps in to provide clear, science-backed technology to help you to better track your cycle. I only recommend products that I use and I love my Temp Drop tracker. You can get 10% off your tracker with the code AFFertilityCo or head to fertilityco.com.au/temp drop for more information.